welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Recruiter Podcast. If you are part of the recruitment industry and you believe that authentic recruiters change lives, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Claire Akers. I want to say thanks for tuning in. I am so glad you're here. Let's dive in to the episode. So today, this is the very first recruitment leader interview we've done for the Authentic Recruiter podcast, and I am delighted to welcome Dan Mills, who is the business manager for the Leeds office for the Gravitas Group. I think I said all that right correctly, didn't I, Dan?
Yeah, you got that.
Fantastic. So you and I, we've only just started speaking, haven't we? Because we started speaking about a podcast and how to get that off the ground. And you heard it here first, folks. But since we spoke, you've gone away and done your first interview, and it's all ready to launch.
Yeah, it will be at the weekend. It just needs finishing off and sticking online. But yeah, it really helps. Thank you for that.
Yeah, amazing. That's fantastic. So we're going to have a chat about what you've been up to in the Gravitas Group. But first of all, why don't you start off by telling our audience and our listeners what your background is and how you got to be where you are today, if you would.
Yeah. So I've been doing IT recruitment in the north for about 8 years, something for my sins.
And you're from Doncaster, you're from originally?
Originally from Doncaster. Basically finished uni. I think same as everybody, like I never grew up I wish I was a recruiter, but my dad was in sales. Like, my dad's always done really well in sales. I saw an opportunity for that. I quite liked it. Like, I like the whole, the more you work, the more you can achieve, more you can earn. Like, it's very merit-based.
Yes.
And I think few careers are like that. And I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Like, my dad always, he's very good at his job, and I kind of wanted to chase it and beat him. So that's how it started. And then I finished university, was approached by Gravitas. It was my first recruitment job, was here. Traveled to Leeds for God knows how long from the outskirts of Donny, which was interesting, like, trains and everything else, trying to get it, but just took to it really well. I think a lot of it was down to Joe Callahan, who's our director in Manchester. She was like my first ever manager in recruitment, and she's an absolute machine. Like, she was building a new division, managing people who had no idea how to do recruitment and training them at the same time, and did a lot for me in the early days. So I was well supported. Did quite well at it. Like, I achieved quite a bit. I was highest performing rookie in the UK in my first year. I was in the top, I think it was five or four ranked consultants globally in my second. Started to pick up management stuff, really got a feel for building other consultants and giving them opportunity. Kept going from there really, and I've been in recruitment since.
So you haven't... Sorry, go on.
I think that was 2012 I started, something like that. So as everything sort of credit crunch recession and all that was starting, and we just kind of ignored it and cracked on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I managed to be on my first maternity leave when the bottom fell out of recruitment in 2009, 2010. And I'm quite grateful for that, to be honest. But I think you've hit on something quite important there, or alluded to something quite important, which was head down and carry on. Obviously, we're going through a bit of a testing time at the moment. How's that attitude serving you at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's being a Yorkshireman. And I know that's not a popular thing to say. I don't really complain about much. It's just sort of the way I've been brought up by my parents and stuff, is just make the most of what you got and give it a go. And the process and stuff that I've learned over the last 8 years from not just at Gravitas, other places I've worked, I picked up a lot of techniques, a lot of ways to build business, generate business, help sort of stay calm, I guess, is the general thing that everyone goes with the posters and stuff. But it's not really fazed me. I'm just trusting the process. I think if you have a way of working and it's worked before, stick to it and it will continue to work. Also, like, the good guys shine through. I think relationships now more than ever are paramount. So building good relationships with candidates and clients, a support network. So I've got really good people around me, both inside recruitment and outside it, to sort of steer me and give me some advice. My dad's a big influence on most of the stuff that
I do. Sounds like it. Definitely a real role model.
Yeah, I run a lot of stuff past him. Anything like in terms of like planning, strategy, that kind of stuff. And then internal, so John, who owns and runs Gravitas, he's a big part of what we do, and yeah, he trained me a lot in terms of building a business. Guys from, so Jeff, who's running iSource and Yorkshire Mafia, again, that was probably like the earliest start to me learning things like future planning. So how to build teams and businesses bigger than 4 or 5 people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in answer to the question, keep calm, carry on. It's just what I've always done, and it's what people around me have done. And I just kind of copy it and surround myself with people that aren't sort of neggy to external influences, things you can't control. So there's certain things that you can control. So your effort, your attitude, how you turn up to work, how you do your business, how you respond to people, and everything else. You just kind of have to bear with it. Don't keep doing things the way that you think they should be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an absolutely massive theme in the coaching that I'm doing at the moment is we can't control events. You can control your reaction. And I think that's the difference between people who are going to not only survive this period, but thrive and come through it bigger and brighter and better than ever. And it's really, really interesting to watch people's thought processes and the negative thoughts coming in and how they conduct themselves through all this. There's so many questions I want to ask you about everything you just said there, so I'm not entirely sure where to start. But okay, so with this podcast and with the Authentic Recruiter community that I'm building and you're obviously a part of, I'm on a bit of a mission to prove that recruiters are noble, ethical, operate with integrity. Not all of us, of course, but you know, I'd like to think the majority of us believe in what we do and provide a damn good service and add value to our clients and candidates and niches. How important is being values driven and authentic to you, would you say?
Very, in a word. For anybody who knows me or is like connected with me or has worked with me before, it sometimes comes across as quite blunt, but I say what I feel, say what I think's right, I stand up for it, and I think it's important, especially given our industry's been tarred by people being dicks for the short of it. But there's a lot of good guys out there. I've worked with a lot of them. I've been trained by a few, and yeah, I think it's the same as anything, isn't it? Anywhere you go, there's going to be people that don't do things ethically or don't do things right by the rest of the industry. Mm-hmm. I think it's more prominent in recruitment because it's easily seen. A recruiter's job is to be visual, part marketer, part people coach and salesperson as well, and all that thrown in. So being as visual as recruiters are is very, very quickly seen when something goes wrong, or they don't act with integrity, or they're not doing the right thing. And I think that's why it spreads much faster in recruitment than it does in most of the businesses. So for example, you could be sat in a call center and someone be a bit of a knob. It wouldn't then go on LinkedIn and be shared 17,000 times by everybody because nobody really uses it and nobody really sees it. And you're not affecting people's lives. Like, although we're recruiters, a job move is a big deal for a lot of people. And I think having that emotional intelligence to realize that what you're doing does have a big impact on both candidates, clients for hiring into teams, and as a manager, your people, your team. So the way that you act, same as anything, isn't it? Monkey see, monkey do. Not calling recruiters monkeys, but It's, yeah, you have to act in a way that inspires others and does the industry proud, so to speak, I think.
Do you think we've got a responsibility because we are so visible?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, everyone's got a personal brand. However you decide to portray it or what that is completely up to them. But you have a responsibility to act with integrity at all times. And to, yeah, the emotional intelligence thing is a big thing for me. I think stop looking at everything as a sale or a number. Work with people. Likewise, if your team are having a hard time, don't just run to the stats, like the people. And if you can get under the bonnet of something like that, so if you can understand the why people want to work, why they're interested, what their motivations are, whether that's to get a new job, whether it's to come into recruitment all day and work doing this, or whatever it is, so much more powerful, both for you to know about the business and to build a relationship with your clients and candidates and your consultants, but also to drive stuff. Like, I think people are missing a big trick if you don't take an interest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the key to everything, really, isn't it? Whether you're managing or whether you're recruiting, whatever. So have you seen, where's that book? For the podcast listeners, I'm just pulling out Simon Sinek's Start With Why, which is is the Bible, really, isn't it, for what we're talking about. Once you understand people's motivations and that, you know, you just, the value you can add is just amazing, isn't it? I mean, that whole subject is what led me from being a recruiter into being a coach, because the crux, the magic in recruitment for me is when you, a candidate or a client opened up to you and you really, really understood their core, in their bones, what was driving them, and you knew you could do a good job for them. And it's a privilege, actually, isn't it, really, being privy to someone's thoughts like that.
Yeah.
So your role at the moment, you haven't stayed at Gravitas since you were a wee grad, have you? You've moved around a little bit.
Yeah, so I've worked here for 2.5 years, and in short, my team, so my big inspiration, like I said, was Jo initially. She was brilliant, she still is. I can still work with her. She's still one of my mentors in here. But she moved to Manchester. She got an office in Manchester and she runs that now. Yeah, just felt the timing was right, wanted to do something else. So moved around, worked at a couple of consultancies. So I mentioned before, ISOS being one, Corecom as well was there. And in all those, always done tech recruitment or built tech recruitment teams.
Perfect. Okay. And then obviously you've come back to Gravitas with a bit of a mission to make it bigger and better. What strategies have you implemented and why have they been successful?
a lot, I guess. So a bit of background to it was we realigned like some of the markets and stuff we were looking at to better serve our client base. I brought in people I trusted into like senior positions. Shout Paige. Paige is one of my team leads, and Matt as well, who I've worked with before. Both of them trust, and they're really good. So that really helps. Like, they work in a way that it's a style thing, I think. So they work in a style and a manner and behave with, like I said, values and things like that align with mine and what we're trying to build. So then it became quite easy to roll it out because we all had the same aligned goals, aligned values, that kind of stuff. And it makes it much easier as a leader when everyone's bought into the same thing, they'll want it without it being forced. I think sometimes like goals and things like that are sort of pressed upon people and they're not really their goals, they're elsewhere. So yeah, basically one of the strategies, hire people and work with people who have aligned goals and values to me. That was probably the biggest change.
What are the aligned goals and values? Because you're absolutely right. You know, when you get a true congruence in values, then you become greater than the sum of your parts. And you can grow a team identity. You can grow a culture that's rich and empowering, where you can do your best work and get that whole working in flow thing. What are the values that you've tried to instill?
Yeah. So the whole graft, like, you're not entitled. Everyone is on a peg. So it doesn't matter if you are team lead, me, business manager, whatever, like, you're accountable for everything that you do, actions, the words you say, everything. You're accountable and you're representing the team, yourself, the business in all that you do. Do that with integrity, do it with good intentions, and work for the team. So I think, again, that attitude of mucking in, and it sounds like quite simple stuff, but it's also lost quite a lot in a lot of businesses, where it tends to be someone in an ivory tower looking at numbers and shouting orders down for other people to do stuff, and there's a lack of respect going up, and rightly so, in my opinion. So I don't do or ask the guys to do anything I'm not doing myself. So I'm still on the phones, still billing, even though I'm doing the strategy for the office and running the team and doing some training and coaching and all that stuff. Like, I still keep my hand in, not as much as I did before, but still put them away.
Show about it's done.
Yeah, still put them away. It's the, like, just honesty, act with integrity and honesty, and it's really difficult to go wrong. I think if you try in as well. So for me, I have like an attitude and effort thing when I'm managing teams. So if the output isn't there, and but they're working really hard and their intentions are good and they're good people and I want them in the business, that's a me problem. Like, I need to go and help them and train them in techniques if they're trying the hardest, it's not working. However, if there's obviously no output, no effort, then it's a different situation. But I always look at myself before I look at others, and I ask my team leads to do that as well. So if you have a team, if something's not working, it's usually your fault. Mm-hmm. As a leader or a manager, it's usually something that you've missed. You've not spotted early enough, and you've not trained it. You've not acted on something, or you've not connected the why, like you were saying before, together to motivate someone to do something. Always look at yourself first rather than others.
Yeah, that's really good advice. When I started out in recruitment, so 15 years ago now, it was very old school, aggressive Wolf of Wall Street type environment. And we used to call it seagull management. So the owner of the business would kind of come in, shit all over everything, and then sweep out again.
Nice.
Yeah, that was, I'm glad things have evolved a bit. So how's your leadership style evolved during coronavirus and lockdown? How have you had to adapt?
I haven't, is the answer. It hasn't changed. And I think that's one of the key things to why it's going well is,
okay,
we had a plan. Obviously, like most managers of recruitment businesses, we plan quarterly and halves and yearly, all that sort of stuff. And the plan didn't change. The way we worked didn't change. The team still there, like, they're all doing well, and the way that they conduct business didn't change. And we know it works. So rather than sort of shitting it, so to speak, and changing everything and trying to rewrite a book that the guys wouldn't understand, or it doesn't fit with how we represent ourselves, we stuck to what we knew. I think marketing ramped up a bit. I did quite a lot of courses with the internal team on branding themselves, getting their face out there, because I think sometimes we teach them a lot about recruitment, but not about the marketing side of it.
Talk to me about that, because obviously you're launching a podcast, but what else have you done to raise the profile?
We run networking events. So we started something called H1, which is a tech leader C-level event in Leeds, where we rent a cinema. We use Everyman Cinema for it, which is quite cool. And we host 70, 80 C-level tech people, and showcase other good tech people. So anything to do with if a business is doing something cool and they're building something interesting and maybe they've not had the platform to tell everybody about it, we give them that. Or we get industry leaders. So our last one had Bruce Daisley, who's an ex-vice president of Twitter, and Steve Bryan, who is a senior tech evangelist for Amazon at AWS, talk about culture. And that was obviously really cool from people who definitely know a thing or two about culture in tech businesses. Mm. So we ran those events. Since we did that before lockdown, but we had to bring them online whilst all this was going on. And
it sure.
Worked really well. We, from that, got a spin-off and was asked to do something for internal recruiters. So we run Hire, which is H1RE. Trying to keep in the brand thing. And that's around things like employer branding, marketing, process, anything you would need as an internal recruiter. We've had some really good speakers for that too. So Dan Kelsall, which if any recruiter hasn't seen that guy's marketing stuff, strongly suggest you go and read it. It's phenomenal. Those things really work well for us. Because it's just giving value back, shows interest. My guys learn from listening to it anyway. It's just a nice thing to do. But we found that worked really well in terms of our branding, positioned as well, allowed us to speak to, obviously, a bunch of people that either we did know and were building relationships with, or people we didn't know and were introduced to through referrals about coming to the events. But the way that we built that was basically not compromising on speakers. We just found the best speakers that we could and people wanted to listen to them.
Makes sense.
Is kind of my mentality to running events and podcasts and stuff like that. I think if you get interesting people listen. So yeah, sorry I'm on this, but hopefully someone will listen.
I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. So innovate, but stick to what you're good at the same time.
Know your brand, know your process, and if you trust in it, keep doing it. If it's worked before, it'll work again.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Do you think that consistency helped your team feel safe during a very uncertain time?
Yeah, I use it as like a sanity piece because I'm like, well, I know this works. I know the model we have. I know the way we build relationships. I know our client base and the way we work with them. I know our event strategy. I know all those things work. So it doesn't really matter what's going on external, given there might be fluxes in what's happening and what's going on and whether you can do it remote or in person or whatever else. But the fundamentals of it work. So yeah. I think because I was so resolute and I back it and I'm like, I am doing this thing and we're going to do it together. And that in it together really makes a difference.
Definitely.
Definitely gives the team faith and trust in the plan.
Yeah. Well, that whole in it together mentality is what inspired me to set up the Authentic Recruiter Society. The big question is, what can we do as the good guys to try and change the face of recruitment, do you think? Apart from don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick. And I think if you're a leader, inspire and train others in the way that you think recruitment should be done. Mm. Teach them the right way so that there's more good guys in the market. Don't be afraid of calling it out. If people see me on LinkedIn again, I'm not shy of being vocal. If somebody's being a dick or it's a bit shit, say it. It's not on and it's giving the industry a bad name. Call that out. Don't be a dick yourself. Pretty easy one to stick by. If you're sticking to what is a good guy and or girl and integrity, acting with integrity, doing the right thing and inspiring others to do the same, it'll get to a point where it just outbalances itself. There'll be more good guys than not. Yeah. Or, to be honest, by being a good guy and writing about good things and adding value and talking to good people, your brand will carry through anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
The problem is bad publicity travels, and it travels fast, but good can too. And I think if you're supporting each other, like the authentic recruiter group, mm-hmm. And you, same as anything, you bring a bunch of collectives who back the same message and want to change. That's the other thing. A lot of people who aren't acting in a way that I would agree with don't want to change. The problem is they see it works to a point.
That's the danger, isn't it? It's going to be interesting to see what happens during this testing period, whether people become cut more corners and get a bit more cheeky in their practices, or whether they say...
For me, it's a moral obligation. Like, the don't be a dick thing is just a general rule that we go by anyway. Mm-hmm. But is the equivalent of, like, the whole outsourcing, is it right thing in, like, the clothing industry, for example? Of course it's not. Don't be a dick. Like, you're making enough money. If you're doing things the right way, you can still have a good business. You can build a good brand. You can create opportunity for other people, other recruiters, candidates that are going into jobs without being a dick. And also, do you want to be known as being a dick?
That we don't want that to be your legacy.
No. Would you be proud of your friends and family speaking to people in the market and asking what your brand is and getting an honest response? Like, if your mom or your dad was to ask, like, a client, a candidate, or anybody else who's seen you talk or seen you speak, would they be happy with what your response would be, or what the people's response would be? I think is a good acid test in terms of, do you have a good brand? Are you a good guy?
So what does your dad think of you and what you're doing?
Oh, my dad thinks I'm an arse. No, I'm kidding. No, I like to think he thinks I'm doing well. He's always batting stuff. Like I said, I look up to him massively. He's came from not a lot. Never went to uni or anything like that, and he's done some pretty cool stuff. So again, those that know me has probably heard the story, but my dad started, built and ran some of Europe's biggest cosmetic surgery companies. He started Transform with a guy called John Ryan. He worked with him on Maya as well. There's some other ones, he's done some pretty cool stuff from not a lot, and it's mainly been doing the right thing and doing a lot of it, which I know is not helpful and probably not the answer that most of the people on here want to listen to, is you don't get it overnight. You're not entitled to it, and it takes craft. That's the way I got brought up.
I think that's what we need to hold on to when times are tough, isn't it? That we need to hold true to what you know, what you believe in, and just keep on plugging at it, and we'll get through it, and we'll do it together as well.
Yeah, and support people. I think... My main concern about this authentic recruiter group was people won't talk because recruitment's quite, not cloak and dagger, but no one wants to share their secrets, and it's all secret. From someone who's worked in multiple recruitment agencies in the same sector, there's no secret. Like, people move around and they get different jobs, and the knowledge moves with it, and it's been doing it for years. So pull the rod out your ass. There's nothing really new. But back the good ones. If you see someone doing a good job, say they're doing a good job. If you see someone in need of help or they're asking for help, help them out. Like, I'm always, if anybody ever needs anything or wants some advice, anything, by all means, shout me. Not sure if I could help, but I'll give it my best. I think this whole, I don't talk to them, they're competition, or we don't like those guys over there, it's bollocks. Yeah. Most of them are really nice.
Yeah,
most of them. I've worked with a lot of them and don't have a bad word to say.
Yeah. Okay, then, Dan, final question. What's a book or a podcast you couldn't live without? You've mentioned a couple of books already, but I'm keen to know.
Yeah, I read quite a bit. I didn't do until, to be honest, I moved into like a TL role, a management role, and started to read a bunch of stuff. So like the Cynic Why stuff, I've seen quite a bit of. The Chimp Paradox, that sort of stuff. They're the kind of standard ones that you'll see knocking about. More recently though, probably Mike Winnett's podcast. I really like the rawness of it. He does this thing called Contrapreneur. He calls out people that are being a bit of a dick. and selling the whole sales dream and all the rest of it. And I don't really buy into that. So I like his message. Mm-hmm. Interviews cool people. Dan Kelso, the guy that did one of my events, was on there talking about branding and marketing and the way it should be done, and talking about tone of voice and things like that, which I mm-hmm. really like. So yeah, that's probably something I've been listening to a lot of recently. Other than that, I try and steer away from work stuff. I read quite a lot of work stuff, but like the podcast and stuff, listen to outside of it. I try and avoid recruitment-y bits and look for crossover in other things. So I really like Alex Ferguson's book around management. I think there's, minus the throwing boots at people, he obviously knew a thing or two about bringing through young talent, developing them, and keeping it level-headed. Mm. I think was something that he did really well.
There's a lot of parallels, aren't there?
Yeah, he does a talk as well, I think, at one of the universities in America, and you can get it on YouTube if you haven't seen it, but definitely worth a watch around leadership versus management and his approach on that. But yeah, so really short round that up. Mike Winnett's podcast, it's brilliant, really like it, there's lots in it. I think he interviews Mitch Sullivan as well about recruitment on it, so if you've not seen it, give it a go. And then book-wise, there's tons, but there's a lot of crossover in sport. To like sales management and building teams and things like that. So I tend to read backgrounds of good leaders in sport stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, we'll leave it there, Dan. Thank you for your thoughts, and best of luck with the mission.
Cool. Thank you.
That is it for today. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if we're not already, let's connect on LinkedIn. See you next time.